The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird up your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to be open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, and then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations or act in accordance with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Much will be required of the man entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the one entrusted with more. And what will be requited? The beatings. I hope you were listening. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. And it will continue until the morale improves. No. The Lord, of course, is speaking by way of parable, and he warns us that we have been entrusted with much. I'm Italian-American, I suspect there's a curve, but we have to be ready to size up where along the curve we might well be, even if we're way off. We have to be ready to understand that we've been given the memo on what is expected for us in a way that others may not have been. Is this parable meant for us or for everyone? The Lord basically confirms the curve right there. How are we to judge it in light of what is expected? The Lord sets the tone when he says, to provide for ourselves wealth that will not wear out, treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. You know what will get you in the car at 2 a.m. to respond to an emergency. For some, it's a family member. Maybe it's a chapel that one's entrusted with. Maybe it's a demand of the apostolate or the need of a brother or sister. Maybe for some, probably not here, maybe it's some stock moving in Tokyo. I don't know. That's the danger, right? We're perfectly capable of staying up till 2 a.m. for something, or getting up at 2 a.m. for something. And as I've just alluded, there are plenty of good reasons why that might be the case. One of the fathers of the church points out, well, if your treasure, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be, means that our treasure is the heart. And not in some corny Hallmark way, here, I got a card for you, your heart is your treasure, aw. But rather, it's how our heart is conformed and responsive to the other things in our life that is the central question, right? How do we love? How do we know what to love and what priorities to set, what to get up for, and when to hang up the phone? Where our treasure is will dictate how our heart responds. St. Lawrence, whose feast falls today, would be able to tell us this. Maybe you know the account of him being commanded by the Roman pagan authorities to bring the treasures of the church for taxation. And Lawrence, being rather savvy and wise and sarcastic, brings the poor that the church had supported. These are the treasure of the church. It didn't help that the authorities knew that there was some degree of gold and wealth in the vestments and vessels of the Christian community, so they didn't enjoy the joke as much. You may know that they grilled him over this, not just through interrogation either. They put him to fire. And even then, he could say, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." Humor and faith both allow us to look through a situation toward the eternal standard we would otherwise miss. Humor invites us to take a step back in the midst of the vicissitudes of our own mind and be ready to laugh. Woe if we simply laugh in scorn at those we perceive to be inferior, but blessed are we when we can laugh at ourselves or laugh at the idiosyncrasies of life and of our condition. Because it's then, from a vantage of faith, that we can see clearly and rightly. It's there that we can see the treasure that survives, the 401k that does not run dry. I think that's how it works. You can tell me. I don't know. I became a Dominican, so I don't need to know these things. But I try to keep up a little. So, what about faith? The letter to the Hebrews speaks so beautifully of it and encapsulates that beautiful line of faith, the realization of what is hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because as we've talked about on this retreat, faith is the acceptance of first truth speaking. When we accept in faith what is worthy of trust, we participate in the knowledge of the one revealing. If the doctor gives you sound advice and you trust him as a doctor, you know something about medicine. Don't hang up your own shingle for legal purposes. But understand that when you get good medical advice, that in effect allows you to understand to a degree the treatment you might pursue. And in the same way, God has revealed of himself and of the world what matters, where the treasure lies. And so the letter to the Hebrews goes on at length. This is unfortunately only an abbreviation of it. The whole chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is well worth your rumination. But by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. We talked yesterday about the Tower of Babel, about those who sought to make a name for themselves and were going to build a tower as high as the heavens to attract all the peoples of the world to admiration. And given that they were scattered, it's quite interesting how immediately after that incident in the book of Genesis is this very event that the letter to the Hebrews just recounted. "Lech lecha," says the Lord to Abraham, "take yourself and go." A rather stirring way to get anyone to move, right? Maybe getting your kid off the couch or your husband out of the house. "Take yourself and go to a land that I will show you," he says to Abraham. A third to a half of the world reveres Abraham as a father in faith. Jews, Muslims, Christians all claim Abraham as a prototypical example of who they are. And if you were around 3,800 years ago when Abraham lived, and you had to say, who's the person walking around right now that people are really going to be talking about? You wouldn't have guessed a guy who wandered around with his sheep and his family trying to find a place and a heritage. If you had to guess, you would have probably guessed the emperor in China or some Babylonian king or an Egyptian pharaoh. This is, by the way, Abraham would be about 700-800 years after the pyramids were built. Gives you an idea of how old the pyramids are. In the face of a world that was old and entrenched and established among these corridors of power, the true answer, the enduring answer, proved to be this fellow who is ready to simply move and respond to what God asked of him. And he didn't get a degree, and he didn't invent a cure, and he didn't build any great city on his own, and he didn't invent anything. He followed. He established a family. He lived in faithfulness. He handed on knowledge of the God who revealed himself to him. And the rest of us have benefited to the point that, yeah, he's pretty much the biggest, one of the biggest names in the world. Our faithfulness in the life of the Dominican charism involves a similar promise, where we can find a lasting treasure amidst the other things in which we might otherwise place our hope. We can turn from those passing things that thieves can steal and moths destroy, and toward an enduring legacy of the heart, not in some saccharine and removed sense again, but in a heart well-seasoned and able to season the rest of the world. For we are meant to be just that, salt of the earth, and able to cast light in a world that otherwise knows much shadow. In our liturgy, we get a very seminal clue on where our treasure is found. At the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, you may know it well, lift up your hearts. In Latin, sorsum corda. It doesn't say literally lift up your hearts. It literally means hearts up. And then it would be, yeah, we hold them up to the Lord. That's literally what the Latin says. Not very felicitous in English, understandable that we render it slightly differently. But notice that in the gateway to the very highest form of worship that the church offers, she commands that our hearts be open. She commands they be lifted up and attentive to what is on offer, for ultimately it is received here, or it is not received at all, namely the gift of the Lord. This dialogue, the preface dialogue, is exceedingly ancient. You can look at the various prayers of the Mass and see how they're reproduced in the wider Christendom. So, for example, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, is not in the Byzantine churches, the churches of the Eastern Orthodox. They complained in a council about depicting Christ as a lamb, you know, those depictions of Christ with a crook, and he's a lamb depicting a cross coming out of his mouth or something, and a banner of the resurrection. The Orthodox didn't like that. And so then the Pope ordered that the Lamb of God hymn be inserted into the Mass. The Sanctus is exceedingly ancient. The Orthodox have it. The Copts have it, the Egyptians. That's very ancient. The words of institution are more ancient still, but there is one widely used Eucharistic prayer that does not mention the words of institution. But every Eucharistic prayer says hearts up. Every Eucharistic prayer says sorsum corda, or its equivalent. Because ultimately it is here that we find the grounds of our hope. We confess the highest mystery of our faith, and we encounter the deepest reality of our love. Just as Lawrence hid, by tradition, it's said that he hid the Holy Grail. How fanciful of a story is that? Well, it may well be legendary. But it's said that he brings the poor forward and distracts the Roman authorities so as to hold and hide the true grail of our Lord, the true chalice and the enduring treasure of his heart in the face of a Roman authority that would tear apart the local Church of God. We are invited to keep these things in perspective, even as we might be grilled, perhaps not literally, but by the demands of our life and the scorn of some who do not understand, those who would be inclined to question, perhaps through very good reason on account of the hypocritical example they may well have encountered in the church and elsewhere. We are invited to salt with fire and with sincerity in lives well lived and responsive to the mysteries that unfold here, being conformed not simply to Dominic, but conformed to Christ himself, not simply by moral example or by idealization, but by his very body and blood, not merely symbolized, but signified and made truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity, so as to transform us into the one we consume. And that is the treasure that alone endures.